our Black lives, that they stand up against the status quo that is indeed, that makes all of us a political revolution. We've got filmmakers, we've got photographers, we've got folks who challenge the very notion of what it means to be Black, even for Black people. And that's the provocative thing that we cannot forget about Black August.
Audre Lorde was a Black queer woman and an activist. She, along with revolutionaries like Marsha P. Johnson, shaped our understanding of Black liberation, as did James Baldwin and Bayard Rustin. Today, many would argue that Black liberation has become more inclusive.
So liberation isn't about just being liberated from whiteness and white supremacy. It's about being liberated to live in your full and complete truth without the gaze of anyone.
Danielle Moody is a Black queer woman who is also the host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. She says that the idea of Black liberation has shifted.
When I think of Black liberation now, I think about the liberation of Black trans women. I think about the inclusivity in which we use the term Black, right? And we think about liberation and that, and what safety looks like. Because then it was trying to just be safe from the police, to be safe, you know, in our homes. When I think about safety now, right? I mean, to be safe in my skin, to be safe in my body, to be safe how I show up. And as a Black queer woman, for me, that means the ability to show up as my full and complete self.
While both Moody and Brittany Packnett Cunningham believe that Black August should gain more awareness beyond social justice circles, they also caution against the observance becoming too mainstream or whitewashed.
It's so difficult to maintain integrity of these movements and these experiences, because anytime that things become mainstream, right, like Juneteenth is now going to be a federal holiday, right? But at the same time that you want to make Juneteenth a federal holiday, you also don't want people to understand the context in which Juneteenth became a day of recognition in the first goddamn place.
In the century since the first Africans were brought to America, we've had to fight for our liberation every step of the way. And today in the 2020s, we still fight for our full and uninhibited liberation, which includes voting rights, access to healthcare, and education, among other issues. But is Black liberation an ideology that is at the very core of Black August an achievable goal?
I have to believe Black liberation is an achievable goal. That kind of critical hope is what helps you keep going when it's difficult. I have to believe that Harriet Tubman felt like Black liberation was an achievable goal. I have to believe that Fannie Lou Hamer believed that Black liberation was a goal. I have to believe that Ida B. Wells knew that Black liberation was possible. And so if they can believe that, then I can most certainly believe that. It's hope that looks at the evidence of Black freedom fighters throughout generations who have made us more free today than we were yesterday. And that evidence, that data lets me know that it is possible.
Indeed, Black liberation is still the end goal. And that means working and fighting for a future when all Black lives matter. While Black August dwells in social justice circles and is very much preserved by activists, it is imperative that we amplify the message of Black power and keep the revolutionary flame burning, now and forever.
Hey y'all, what's up? It's Friday, so I'm gonna keep it Black, but I'm gonna keep it brief. I am back, everyone. Yes, yes, you are all welcome. I genuinely hope you enjoyed my substitute teachers, but it's time to get back to your regularly scheduled programming. So let's get into it. White people will do anything, and they ought to be shamed, but they not. If you haven't been tapped in, then you might not know that apparently the movie The Blind Side was all a lie. The story we've come to know, based on the life of retired football star Michael Orr, was actually manufactured by the Tui family and turned into an Oscar-winning film. Why y'all like to award Oscars to movies about Black people needing white people is another conversation for another day. The movie had a great concept and could have been based on a great story had it depicted Michael Orr's own incredible journey from the Tennessee foster care system to playing D1 football at Ole Miss. But instead, it's mostly about Leanne Tui and her white saviorism, except in real life it more so seems like she was hitting a lick instead of saving somebody. While the film rests on this act of altruism of adopting Michael Orr into the Tui family, in real life these people coerced him into signing a conservatorship, putting them in complete control of his money. See, the Tuis did not take Michael in until he was 18 years old, which is past the time of legal adoption. This was also the year before his their senior year in high school, which is around the time high school athletes commit to collegiate teams. And if you recall from the movie, the Tuohys themselves were Ole Miss alum. So the NCAA said it would be best for Michael to be legally attached to them if he was going to play at Ole Miss, so they didn't seem like boosters. And I'm not talking about figuring out which mom is bringing the Gatorades to which game. I'm talking about boosters that act as third parties to financially support athletes or funneling athletes into teams. And when the Tuohys brought the conservatorship papers to Michael, they explained it away to him as something like an adoption to satisfy the NCAA's requirements. And what we also remember from the film is that Michael was behind the learning curve. Having been in the foster care system for 11 years, families and teachers kept passing him on to the next person, and nobody made it a point to share that he needed help until he got into this Christian school. I say all that to say, even if they thought they could manipulate Michael into thinking this was an adoption, why did they go and tell everybody else it was an adoption? There's a lot to unpack here. Number one, black people have been tricked into signing some shit under the pretense it was some other shit for decades following the Reconstruction. Because up until the Reconstruction, it was illegal for us to read. Black people have been conned into signing their life away to work peonage debt they did not owe.
You're listening to An Experiment with Time on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Fala your family. classic Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention from 1970s Burnt Weenie Sandwich. That was Holiday in Berlin, full blown. Such a cool track. And the guitar groove at the end is miles away from where it starts, yet somehow it feels like it's the only place it could have ended up. Opened up tonight's experiment with some really early Fela Kuti from 1965. The track was called Olulufe Mi, which means my love in Yoruba. You are listening to An Experiment with Time here on WRCT Pittsburgh. WRCT is supported by Row House Cinema. Row House Cinema is a single screen theater in the historic Lawrenceville neighborhood of Pittsburgh. Each week they choose a new movie theme ranging from classic, cult, foreign, animation, fantasy, and more. Their concessions feature natural popcorn with real butter, craft beer, and the adjoining bottle shop and vegan options. Row House Cinema is located at 4115 Butler Street in Lawrenceville. For more information, visit their website at rowhousecinema.com or call 412-904-3225. And if you're interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. For 248 years, proud patriots have defended our freedom as American soldiers. One of the best ways to honor their service is through the Army Historical Foundation's Registry of the American Soldier. Open to all Army veterans, this free registry allows veterans or a loved one on their behalf to create a permanent public record of their service. No soldier's story should be forgotten. Learn more at armyhistory.org. That's armyhistory.org, sponsored by the Army Historical Foundation. The experiment continues here on WRCT. This is Mendoza Hoff Revels, Echolocation, title track off their new album. Just wait a few sections here before James Brandon Lewis bursts into an incredible tenor sax solo, followed by some wild guitar musings from Ava Mendoza. Her playing is just incredible. This is An Experiment with Time on WRCT.
It's gone past midnight, and won't you do me justice now?
Okay, honey. Will you come along now?
Can't you feel the night so very cold? The bed and blanket all so cold. Hold me closer and put out the light and take me justice. Oh, that is me. I said to me, Georgina. No brandy or whiskey can do it right. No number of blankets can keep me warm. So pull me closer and put out the light and then do me justice. Oh, darling, make it. Oh, yeah, no more time to wait now. Please tell me who wants that.
My days are consumed by smoke. At my bones burn in my head. My heart is withered like the grass. I forget to eat my bread. You have lifted me up. Don't hide your face from me. See the trouble I'm in. I hate your moaning voice. I put boldly to my skin. Within me, you have cast. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm blacking out of the desert. I watch you like a shadow, alone upon the south. You can't defend me. And you have. My drinking tastes like beer. My bread has turned bad. My days are like a shadow, all withered like the grass. Oh, you have it in. You have.
Peter Walker from the Long Lost Tapes 1970. That was the 102nd Psalm. Before that, Cowboy Junkies kind of channeling their best Fairport Convention impression on Working on a Building from the Trinity Sessions. Open up that little segment with Do Me Justice from Essie Roji. Classic Sierra Leone High Life from the 60s. This is An Experiment with Time on WRCT. People say our country is facing polarization like never before. At Inform Your Community, we're on a mission to change that narrative with civility, not hostility. At Inform Your Community, we know the best way to talk about difficult topics is to talk about difficult topics. We're here to educate, bridge gaps, and encourage dialogue by providing engaging, welcoming, and meaningful events that discuss the timely civic issues that matter to you most. To learn more, visit informyourcommunity.org, sponsored by Inform Your Community. Check out After School Special. Join the coolest kids after school club. Spinning techno breaks, acid, electro, and all things groove. Tuesdays 3 to 4 with Jinky on WRCT. And tune in to Pinckney Hall. You'll hear tender little ditties that will lighten the heart, sharpen the mind, and embolden the spirit. Fridays 9 to 10 a.m. on WRCT. And everyone thinks they know the 80s hits. But on the other side of the Atlantic lies a treasure trove of synth-drenched sounds that filled the airwaves of Europe back in the day. Take a trip back to the 80s you never knew with DJ Tony Tunes from Here to Eternity, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. And this is An Experiment with Time you're listening to right now. The show airs every Saturday at midnight. Let's get back to the music here with John Coltrane and Kenny Burrell. Why was I born?
Skies are expected tonight. If you look up into the dark black infinity, you will catch a glimpse of Ursa Minor, forever hiding. Two bears in the wilderness of forever. But there we find Polaris, a spike around which the sky rotates. Even in the vastness of endlessness, we can find our way, for we have hands to hold in the wilderness.
Thank you.
Shep by the man from Atlantis with saxophonist Camilla Nabea and percussionist Simo Lehonen. It's just awesome, peaceful vibes. This is an experiment with time on WRCT Pittsburgh. The show airs every Saturday night at midnight. You can catch the full playlist up on WRCT.org. Going to close out tonight's experiment with some classic jazz from Oliver Nelson's 1961, The Blues and the Abstract Truth, Teenie's Blues. Particularly pay attention to the first alto solo on this track. It is from Eric Dolphy. And man, this is just that era of jazz that is like bridging the gap between, you know, post-bop into legit free jazz. Dolphy had such a huge influence on Coltrane and, you know, his own directions into free jazz and the territories that he ended up in. And you can just hear it pushing through on this opening solo. Without further ado, here it is. Eric Dolphy on Teenie's Blues. And just two notes on that. The rest of those solos just sound so tame after Dolphy's. But also, that was 1961. It's crazy to think how much further along and far out jazz was compared to rock music, which was going to take another couple of years to really catch up. This has been Experiment with Time on WRCT Pittsburgh. Check out the full playlist up on WRCT.org and enjoy the rest of your night, folks.
What you're about to experience is a brand new vibe. Something you've never experienced before. Something strong. And infectious.
Good evening, Pittsburgh. It's yours truly, DJ Lee, again with another episode of Saturday Night Fever. You're listening to WCD 88.3 FM, and I, right here, congratulate everyone who made it through the midterms. And tonight we're just going to relax some more. It's right past midterm, fall break's coming, so it's a very good time to celebrate and relax a little bit. And that's what we're going to do tonight.
Lucifer.